We don't, as per usual, we had something to talk about today, my New York food travelogue, because I went to six pretty sweet restaurants in New York City.
Really want to hear about it.
But we don't have time for all that today, because this is going to be a quick one. So instead, we're going to start off by, I think the theme is Nate's got a something funny to lay on us. And then Tarver's idea was, let's talk about some weird stuff. So we're going to see where this goes. Nate, take it away.
Well, it's kind of funny to me, and I was really touched. So at work the other day, this guy comes up to me, and he goes, "You know, you're like one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and like, you know, you're like this all this wholesome dad and everything, but some of the shit you say is the absolute twisted stuff that I hear come out of your mouth." And I was like, go on. And I was like, "Oh my God, thank you." That was like such a great compliment to me. Like, I'm kind of like Bob Saget. If you've never heard his stand-up, it is filth. I got a pretty messed up sense of humor, as you know, but I think that was really touch. I was like, man, thank you.
You've just kind of described the condition of being a nice guy that works at a restaurant, because like, you know, we all take care of each other, and we're like, you know, nurturing the young ones, and like, and then that's all well and good, but when the time comes to say something just fucking foul, we are right there.
Oh yeah, it's like still being in the sixth grade for the rest of your life.
Right, like we never have to stop making poop jokes.
No, never.
Miss cooking with you guys.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm just nutshell, too, Nate. You're like the nicest dude, and then like every now and then you're just like, "God damn, bro.
What did that guy just say?" Especially for people who don't know me that well. It's kind of jarring. I was like, yeah, I guess that would be kind of jarring, you know? It's all fun and games till you see Grandma's Rosebud. that cracks me up.
Oh my God.
It never gets old.
We're like, that's Bob, awesome, man.
Like Bob Saget. No one ever said I'm like Bob Saget. People are usually like, what's the matter?
You're like
with you?
Artie Lang.
Yeah.
No, you're not that bad. I'm just kidding.
The Artie Lang?
He's one of the Howard Stern hangers on. You ever see Dirty Work? He was the guy in Dirty Work that wasn't Norm MacDonald.
Oh, I know exactly who it is. Yeah. Stay hydrated, friends.
Oh, I'm all kinds of hydrated. So the theme of this episode is going to be weird food. Yeah?
Sure.
Well, I don't have any weird food to talk about other than, well, okay, one kind of thing, and it's mildly racist, but I did start a batch of kimchi, but I'm using like all South American and Central American ingredients. I'm calling it wan chi. It smells really good.
That sounds good, man.
As racism goes, that's pretty benign, man.
It's pretty.
You had me worried, but I think we're okay. Tell us about your South American kimchi.
For real.
Or your wan chi.
It's cabbage with like chipotle and adobo. I got some cilantro stems and garlic and a lot of the usual suspects, cumin, you know,
that
salt, lots
good.
Of salt.
What's the,
you know, good. Stuff like that.
Is this just an experiment or do you have an end goal for this?
I was making kimchi because after St. Patrick's Day, cabbage was 25 cents a pound. So I bought way more than
I needed. Not Napa, like straight up
no,
cabbage?
No, it's just the regular...
Like
not
Savoy or whatever?
Head cabbage.
Yeah, the bulk.
Well, that's awesome. Okay.
So what
just messing around.
I mean, what do you plan on doing with it?
I don't know.
Probably. I mean, if you took some
of it,
marinated.
I can see that being real good in the taco, man.
I was going to say,
taco salads.
Grilled
and like
marinated pork
it,
taco.
Toss some Brussels in it or something.
Grilled marinade.
Yeah, I mean, like kimchi
taco.
Mayonnaise is the bomb. I can imagine that being like a fucking bomb ass mayonnaise.
It'll be good to have around. I got about 4 quarts of it, not too much.
You know, there was, speaking of kimchi, there was
it's
this place
bubbling
in,
away.
There was this Hell place yeah. in New Orleans called Hana. It was like a sushi bar. And they had this tuna tartare that they did that was so ghetto, but it ruled. they would just take kimchi, and I think they just put it in the food processor and just buzzed it until it was soup. And then that was the dressing for the tartare. So it was just like bright, fresh, you know, that cheap fumed tuna. I mean, they might have been using nice, you know, untreated, you know, ahi, but I doubt it because it was like a $7 platter. But it was like tuna, and they, all they did was just dump some of this pureed kimchi onto it. Not a lot, just enough to dress it and cover it. And then like scoops of that cheap Tobiko flying fish roe caviar for texture.
Yeah.
The shit was fire. Like, it really? Was really, really good. It was like the most hack dish I've ever seen. And I kind of want one right now. Like, it was just something they just tossed off out of nothing. It was just called like kimchi tartar or like tuna tartar kimchi or something like that.
But you guys ever had like really old kimchi, like multiple years old?
No. Where have you had that?
The stuff that they bury for like generational.
I feel like this fits into our weird food theme. Tarver, where have you had this? Oh, have you had this?
I've had a year old kimchi, but like not anything like, I mean, you know, like the whole kimchi tradition of like, you know, when you have a daughter, you bury it. And when she's 16, you pull it out of the ground. Like I've never had anything close to that.
No, me
either. I frankly am a little spooked by that.
Don't like, be.
I'm trying not to be. You know, I'm a pretty adventurous.
It's probably a lot colder in Korea though than it is here. The ground probably never gets very hot if you bury it a couple feet underground.
Here's a thought. Like, what is the oldest food you guys have had?
Not wine. Well, we used to do what we called annual pigs.
I love this.
Every New Year's Day, we would get a couple of suckling pigs and we would debone but leave them whole and like do like a really good long brine on them. We did a different version every year. Like one year we did like kind of like almost like bulgogi flavors. We did one that was kind of like you know, more Spanish flavors like garlic and chilies and that kind of thing, but confit it in duck fat and pork fat, and then until it was like super, and then like, you know, like brine roll up so it's like one big long torchon, you know, and then confit it in the fat and then let it rest and then stick it in the back of the fridge for until one whole year, and then and make sure the fat seal was perfect and all that kind of stuff. But then on New Year's Eve, that was like the main course, and it was like it was awesome. It definitely had like this, like I don't even know if tang is the right word, but like
like lactic kind of acid kind of thing.
Almost like lactic acid, but I had
buttermilky.
Buttermilky, perfect. Yeah, like buttermilky. Like it had like a little lactic acid kind of like tang to it, and it was so, it had so much depth, and like we would do nothing
soft.
Like every year we did like we always did the superstitions like on the New Year's menu, so it was like 10 courses, and like every course had like some country's New Year's Eve
superstition.
No, and then but the main course was like pork, so we would do the annual pig because pigs always root forward, you know, to like be thinking of the following year. And we would do it with like lentils because lentils represent coins. We did like different, it was always like pork and lentils, and we did like all different kinds of like versions of that. But it was I think that's the oldest thing.
All right, Tarver.
Mine probably be like balsamic vinegar or something. Or
yeah.
One time I ate some expired almonds one time and I could see through time. I predicted the World Series winner. I don't know. Probably a vinegar or something, or ham. I don't know.
All right.
Or I guess like other old food, like what about like starters? You know, I mean, like bread starter. I mean, like,
yeah, good that's one. True.
People have had bread starters that have been going for, you know, as long as the restaurant's been open.
That's a good one.
And is Donna still alive?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Amani. We had that one going for a long time.
Yeah, Amani's sourdough starter was named Donna. And Donna was around for a while.
Really?
At least 10 years. That's pretty good.
Oh, Nate's.
I've been saying Amani. Is it Amani?
It's Amani, like a soft A.
Yeah.
Dude, she's okay. The bomb, dude. I still use her focaccia is still like number one. I've never had a better one.
She's she's got the rock solid focaccia recipe. She's something.
A freaking rock star.
She and I used to hate each other. It was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah. We've come around. I mean, now we've had, like, you know, friendly dinners in each other's houses, but in the beginning there we were not friends.
What about you, Jesse? What's the oldest thing you've ever had?
The oldest thing I've ever had. Well, I mean, I've had, like, I've probably had hams that were a year old. I don't feel like that's a big achievement.
I've had some that are three, probably.
I recently had a Caciocavallo that was, I mean, it was extremely old. I'm not sure how old it was. I don't know whether it was, like, probably a year or so. And it was so hard. It was harder than any parm I'd ever had. Have you guys ever had a Caciocavallo that was rock hard?
No.
Like,
not that hard. I've seen them real funky, though.
You couldn't, it was funky. It had depth. I mean, it was probably technically past its prime. But the thing is, those grating cheeses don't rot. They just get harder and harder and harder. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it really had some, I mean, it had some punch. Like, you don't,
it was like Parmesan rind edge to edge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was that texture. Like,
yeah.
When you broke, like, you know, I just had like a wedge of it. Like, and when you broke into it, it just came off in crescent shaped layers. Like, it wanted it was like ripping apart a really old Danish. Like, it had layers. And so you could see where, you know, because Caciocavallo, it's pulled. I mean, like, they pull it, and they form it into balls. And it was coming across in those layers, but they were like crystal shards. I didn't do anything with it. I just ate it sitting on my couch. Like, I was like, I don't have an end game for this. I was at the cheese shop and they saw
and you
it
didn't
and it
take
like,
a dump for 3 weeks. Oh, so, it like, must have bound you right up, boy.
I was at the cheese
right
shop
like a freaking bungee cord.
I was at the cheese shop and I saw something like raw milk Caciocavallo aged a million days, and I was like, I gotta have that. I didn't even want it. What, I just saw that it was there, and I was like, there's no way I'm walking without tasting it.
Sorry.
What the hell was that?
I was laughing at what Nate said. It bound you up like a bungee cord.
Sorry. We're really keeping it classy today.
Caciocavallo.
Caciocavallo that was way too old, but sometimes too old is just enough. And like, there's certain cheeses you don't want to eat too old. Like a washed rind cheese that's too old is like,
yeah,
you know, dude, it's unpleasant smelling.
It gets tacky too, man. You know how it gets like kind of filmy? That's weird.
If you had that cheese called Katsumatsu, what's it called? It's the cheese that they put maggots into.
I've never had it.
Is it on some really small island off of Greece or something like that?
Is it Greece?
Hold on, let me look the name.
Oh, maybe Italy, somewhere.
Yeah, but they like put maggots in, and the maggots like eat the cheese and then excrete it, and they wait for like that whole process and like the maggots to die and everything. It sounds absolutely revolting.
Kasumarzu.
Kasumatsu, and like, I think Anthony Bourdain, I think it was like an Anthony Bourdain episode or something.
Yes, yes, he did. Yep.
Yeah, and like apparently
it was like a big secret. They had to like sneak him there and like
I mean, they could get in
big trouble. I would crush it. I'm not scared. I would be all about it.
I would try it.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys ever? No, Tarver. I know the answer to this is yes, but since we're talking weird food, we should get into it. How about eating insects?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yes.
That an enthusiastic yeah. Like, I can't really seek that out as long as I'm married to the person that I'm married to, because she is phobic of insects in an extreme psychotic way. Like, when we have New Orleans style barbecue shrimp, I have to peel them for her because the shrimp legs remind her of insects. Yeah. Can you just yell something corroborating this?
They kind of are.
Yeah.
So she gets so grossed out. She gets so grossed out by shrimp legs. So eating insects is something that if I did, I was going to have to do with one of you guys.
Crawfish, they call them mud bugs, man. I mean,
oh, she hates crawfish.
Yeah.
Hates them.
I was about to say.
She just says, I don't know if you can hear it. She just goes, they're
That's
disgusting.
The sickest I've ever been in my life. I got food poisoning from one of them things, man.
Whoa. Crawfish? Really?
Yeah, I got sick on them one time.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. It's awful.
Mm-mm, that was terrible.
But I've had some interesting, there are some insects that I am dying to try, like the lemon cutter ant.
I want to try those,
dude, man. I looked into creating an ant farm to grow them, I've never had one, but like everything I've read, which is a lot, and everything that I've like watched, which is a lot, like they just taste like lemongrass and citrus and stuff.
I'm all about it. I'd love to try myself some.
But dude, it's impossible. It's impossible. And it's like, it's such a, and like, as I was trying to figure out why it was so illegal to bring them over, it's like, I was like, oh yeah,
they're from like the deep rainforest or something. Dude, like the government would never
allow
that.
You're on some kind of list now, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's, you probably belong on that list, in fairness.
But I mean, think of the snakehead fish. I mean, they came over from Thailand and they just like completely took over like Potomac River and all this stuff.
Right. It's about like preserving ecosystems. And I get that shit's no joke. Like I really do. The scorpion fish right now in Charleston, over the last few years, there's been a big push to get people to sell scorpion fish because there's just so fucking many of them and nobody's really done it. I've still never had one. I've never seen one, but like, there was a push for a while back where all the seafood companies were trying to like get people to like become a natural predator for this thing. It's like, we're doing a fine job of keeping the waters running low on, you know, red drum and grouper. Why can't we jump in on this fish?
What is a scorpion? I've heard of a scorpion fish.
That's what they use in bouillabaisse, right?
Yeah. Isn't like what, like the, like a traditional thing for bouillabaisse is the same fish?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure. Right. I mean, they're an invasive species here in Charleston. I'll look it up. I'll put something on the blog post.
I'm looking it up right now. It looks like the same thing.
I think it's the same fish. I'll eat the shit out of those. I didn't know they were around here.
That guy?
Yeah. Maybe that's what I know of. Maybe
that's what I, yeah. When you said scorpion fish, I thought of bouillabaisse in France.
I didn't know they were around here. Yeah, that's immediately what I thought.
If it's that, man, fish those things up, man. They're good.
Yeah, I'll eat them. They're like... Yeah. They're like crab meat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It wasn't scorpion fish. It was lionfish.
Oh, lionfish. Yeah, yeah. Those are super. They're in South Carolina now. I thought they were only in Florida. Super invasive.
Yeah. You know, years ago, a couple of the local fisheries were trying to get people to like get chefs to start using them. And to no avail. I mean, like we like the fish we like, and that wasn't on it. I wonder why that effort didn't catch on, because I'll use junk fish all day long. I like.
Well, I think we need Jesse. We need to get some and mess with it. I've never tried it.
They tried to do that in Virginia Beach for a while, and like it just goes to show, like, you shouldn't really mess with the environment too much. A little bit's fine, but not too much. But like, they were overfishing shark in Virginia Beach because it's a tourist destination. So, and there was like, I remember living there and like there was like a shark attack where like a shark bit a kid and the dad ran out in the water and got the shark off his kid and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, like it was like a huge big deal and people started getting scared of sharks because like the Chesapeake Bay is one of the largest breeding grounds of shark in the entire world. And so they started paying fishermen to fish for shark. And I had a fisherman buddy who was like, dude, you wouldn't believe how much money I get for just fishing shark. I don't have to do anything. I just have to catch them and bring them in, and then I get paid.
Which is funny because the
shark population went down. The ray population went up, and the rays started decimating the oyster beds. So they're like, holy shit, there's no shark to kill the rays. So they started catching rays because they're easy to catch and trying to sell them to chefs. You know, like calling it like, you know, I don't know, like beach chicken or ocean chicken or something. I don't know what they're trying to call it, but like, ray is good. I mean, I've had
they're a lot of work.
I like ray, but it spoils in 2 days.
It spoils so
fast. And
it's
a work.
Bitch. It's a bitch to cut. Like most types of seafood are either slimy or pointy. Rays are slimy and pointy. Like they're impossible to get a grip on. And then when they slip out of your hands, their spines shred your hands. Like, cut right through your gloves, right through your skin. Like, if you're trying to cut a ray, half the blood on the cutting board is going to be yours. Like, ray is delicious. Ray
they're fun to catch.
Like, skate. I've never had stingray. I've had a lot of skate wing. But, like, rays are hard as fuck to cut, man. It's not worth it.
A bulletproof skin. When you catch them, like, the best description I ever heard was from a fisherman who said it's like trying to pull the plug up from the bottom of the ocean.
Oh yeah. Oh well, I was out. I was fishing the Folly Pier one time. You guys ever been out to the Folly Pier?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that little square dock at the point, And that's where the trolley line guys set up going for big game, like mackerel and tarpon and stuff like that. So some rube, some yahoo, hooked a ray on the left side of the pier, and the ray ran for it. A big one, like it was the size of a trash can lid, and it took off. Yeah. And you know, the thing about rays is that they're a lot stronger than they look. Like a 12-inch ray will fight like a 30-inch grouper. So it feels this thing, like you got
Moby Dick on your
pole. Yeah, they're so strong. They're all muscle. So this ray went around and like made a run for it around the end of the point to the right. So he caught it on the left side. The ray shot out to sea and then broke right, which dragged the kid's line across the trolley line rigs at the point.
Whoa!
And it hit the first line, and the first line just popped right through it. And then it hit the second line and popped right through it. And then one of the old fishermen just pulls up a buck knife out of his back pocket and just hacks the kid's line in half. And there was almost a fight. The kid's like, "Yo, man, that was my fish." And the trolley liner's like, "First off, you just caused $75 worth of hardware to sink to the bottom of the ocean. These guys' rigs, they're gone because of you. Second off, you were never going to catch that fucking fish. You should have cut bait." And I was just like, Cletus, tell him.
Like, I've caught a few skate wing. I mean, I've caught skate wing that are like the diameter of a basketball, and it was like a fight. It was a fight.
No, I did
can't
too.
Imagine what that is.
One of the first fish I ever caught was a skate about 13 inches across. I thought I had caught the biggest goddamn fish. I was just like, oh, man. And I finally got to the surface, and I was like, that?
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
They fight harder than sharks. Like they're awesome to catch. They're a lot of fun.
Well, it's you know how you like pull up something from a pool or something if it's like all wide open or something, you know, you get all that drag too.
All the drag.
Yeah, they're built to stay on the bottom. They're built to fight fishermen.
They have like compare them to like a car or a truck or something. They have torque. Like their fins are just like all muscle. And they can push so much water at once. It's not like another little fish, but like these little fins on the side, you know, it's crazy.
Well, and the thing is, I do love cooking and eating them. Like a great trick for ray, specifically skate, that I was taught one time is if you take couscous, like not Israeli, the other stuff, Moroccan couscous, you buzz it in the coffee grinder to make couscous flour and then tap it into like a pan.
Really?
And then you take the skate wing. You know how it's hard to, it's so thin, it's hard to get a good, like, sear on it?
Yeah.
So you take the ray and you press it, like, bumpy side down. You know how, like, part of the half the filet is all ridged? Ridge side down into the couscous flour. Then you get a nonstick pan, like, ripping hot with about a quarter inch of clarified butter in it. And very gently lower the ray. It's smoking clarified butter. Lower it in there and on the couscous side and just let it cook until the couscous is, like, almost like orangey brown, like super and then you just like flip it over and then lift it out immediately, and you get this the texture of the ray is kind of preserved by the crust, and the crust has this great texture, this great toasted semolina flavor, and it's the best.
Dude, that
way
sounds good.
It's the best way I've had to see a ray.
That sounds really good. I had a good one. It was kind of a pain, but it was pretty good. It was I think it was like an Albert Adria trick. But it works like any like small grain like amaranth or quinoa. We liked quinoa a lot. But you cook quinoa and then don't quote me on this because I gotta look through my notes. But I think it was like
I'm doing it. I'm quoting you.
All right. Well, then I'll look it up. It was like
I'm kidding, make man.
methylacel slurry. It was just like methylacel and water, and then I think it was like 3% methylacel syrup to the grain, and then like salt and seasoning and that kind of thing. This is probably like overreach for something like this, but like you spread the grains down on a piece of plastic, you roll up a skate wing into like a log or whatever, and then roll the grain around it, twist it really tight, let it sit in the fridge. And then you can either just straight up deep fry the thing or like sear it in hot oil and roll it around. And it just hardens in this like skin of a crust that's like super, super crunchy. It's really, really good. And it's like,
it like
a lot of things
better, but like 100 times harder than my way.
That's what I was just about to say. Like, your way would do like something very similar
in like 5 minutes.
The difference is like the quinoa thing is like the crunch, the sear is like on the outer crust, the outside, but then there's like a layer of like soft cooked grain and then the delicate fish.
Ooh,
but like yours is like seems like it's like full on crust, dude. I have so much couscous in my pantry right now. I'm gonna grind some up tomorrow.
Important pro tip: you gotta tap it through a chamois. If you don't tap it through a chamois, then you get like bigger bits, and they're crunchy to bite down on. So through a fine mesh strainer, you make this couscous flour, and then that's how you do your. You can do it to scallops too, but I like it better with ray. The scallops, you can get a nice crust on a scallop on its own. Getting a good sear on a piece of ray is not easy.
They're so thin.
They're hard to cook.
They're so thin. By the time they're seared, they're hammered. But
and they're irregular shapes too.
Right. They're like, weird. Mm-hmm. They're weird shapes. The dish was we made a sauce vierge, tomatoes, olives, capers, scallions, olive oil, herbs, garlic. And then we took some crushed potatoes, like pomme écrasée, like the fork crushed potatoes. So like Yukon Gold potatoes. And then I think we used mascarpone, some sort of heavy, like creamy stuff, and crushed the potatoes with mascarpone. Nate, I know you don't like fish and cheese.
You lost me. Mascarpone.
It's just like creme.
No, it sounds good. Mascarpone's not that bad.
It hardly counts as cheese. So we crush.
I know. It's not even.
We would crush yellow potatoes with mascarpone and then add the vierge to that and then like make a little pile.
Dude.
Of that and serve the couscous crusted skate on top of that. And then the sauce was just simple aioli.
That sounds
good. It was a
awesome.
Good dish. It was like super Mediterranean, ultra simple. And if it was on your station, it wasn't the end of the world because the whole thing took like 15 minutes to prep. The vierges was kind of a pain in the dick, but everything else else on the dish was easy as shit. You could make like 2 quarts of vierges and be good for 3 days. And I know vierges kind of dies, but if you're folding it into hot crushed potatoes, you'll never know it. Like it's actually the perfect use for day old vierge. If you ever have something, you're like, oh, this isn't as nice as it was. Folded.
That sounds really good.
I love sauce vierge.
The other sauce I had with Ray that blew my mind was a beurre blanc made with juniper berries.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. The chef from Provence, and he was actually doing a lecture at my cooking school. His name was Alain Ivaldi, and he was kind of he was a bit of a French guy. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
He did this one dish where he just like cooked a skate wing and served it in juniper beurre blanc. And it was the beurre blanc was made with juniper and orange rind, and it was crazy awesome.
Dude, that sounds fascinatingly good.
Yeah. I'd never had any.
I don't think I've ever in my life, except for the rockfish pastrami that we used to make. Have I ever had juniper and fish together?
The thing is, most people, when they use juniper, they use it in a place where you'd think juniper would go. Either something like with lime, where you're trying to evoke gin, or with game, because it's classic with game, or with pastrami, because it's classic with pastrami. No one ever thinks to just use juniper like a spice on its own.
Fuck, man. That's... Damn.
That's really...
I played with other evergreens like cedar and fish before, but like never mm-hmm. juniper. That's fucking...
I've done pine mastic, yeah. And
spruce.
Yeah, never juniper though. I don't think I ever have.
Yeah, let's.
And the sturgeon pastrami.
Yeah,
I
meant sturgeon. Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, the sturgeon pastrami. Oh, the sturgeon pastrami was good.
Well, so good.
We're talking weird food, or we're kind of talking weird food. I mean, just in the sense that we may as well have a theme. Tarvi, you said something about natto. Why don't you tell us?
Yeah, the only reason I said talk about weird stuff because I had natto beans again today. It's the second time in my life and the second time that I hated it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
it's like a love hate thing, but it made me think like Nate Shapiro and I were talking about durian fruit the other day and like how that.
You almost made me spit wine everywhere.
Why?
Because I didn't know you were gonna say it's the second time and I hated him. I thought you were gonna say like I've had it for the second time in my life and I'm really excited about trying them. And I was like,
So first time I hated it. I was like, let's try it again. And nope, second time still don't like it.
So what is
I mean, it has like super strong health benefits and all that kind of stuff, but like
really
man,
good for you. But
really good for you. I just can't.
Explain natto what it is for the people at home.
It's fermented soybeans. Please forgive me that I don't know the entire process of it because like the first time I had it, I didn't really know anything about it and I hated it so much. I was like, well, I'm never going to research that shit in my entire life. But I just know that it's like fermented soybeans, but they do it in a way that like it ends up with like this like almost like okra, like has like that slime, like that elastic slime
okra
to it.
Okra slime is the perfect way. Yeah, I don't really know how they do it or what kind of temperature.
I can look it up.
It's like a really long ferment, and it's just something. And it's not like regular soybeans either. They're like little.
I've had Cassoulet go bad, and it gets snotty like that.
Different, completely. Have you ever had? Have you guys had Natto?
No.
Yeah, and it's almost like a miso kind of.
How do you employ it culinarily? Like, how is it used?
I'm not sure how they use it.
The only time I've ever had it is like when both times was at a sushi bar, and it was like done with like a nigiri, like with rice, like the same way, I don't know if you would call it. Yeah, I guess it's nigiri. The same way we like, you know, you wrap, like the same way you would do like sea urchin, where they wrap it like horizontally.
The vertical collar of nori with a little water.
Yeah. The vertical collar of nori. And then like the natto inside with rice, that kind of thing.
I've only tasted it straight up, I think twice. Like one time, one of my cooks brought it in and it was so bad. I forgot all about it. And then about a year ago, working with Swanky, he was eating that like almost every morning. And he's like, you ever have natto? And I was like, I think so. Try it. I was like, I remember this shit.
Swanks really likes Japanese
Not
stuff.
Not good.
Swanks
really Dude, I've heard crazy like benefits. Like if you eat every single day, like you'll live, it just clears your body out. You just like
clears your toxins. Amazing for you. I can't do it.
Can't do it. Don't care. I'd rather live shorter. Don't want to do it. So sorry. Can't do it.
It
made me think of it reminded me of durian fruit. And what's the Icelandic fermented shark called?
Let me look it up.
So Nate Shapiro took a vacation to Iceland many years ago, and he smuggled back some of that shark, and like it's like, you know, skip it. Like, I don't want to say skip it, because like, if you want to like embark on like an experience that has some very deep old heritage to it, but like, it's a very, you know, traditional Icelandic thing, but like.
Hákarl.
As, what is it?
Hákarl, H-A-K-A-R-L.
Yeah. Hákarl.
But Nate, as you bite down, you're breaking everything apart, and all the ammonia just like spills into your mouth. Like it's
I can't do ammonia, man.
I just couldn't do it.
I don't even like shark on like day three after it's been caught.
That's why I don't really buy skate that much. It goes to ammonia so fast.
The thing about skate,
I guess it's because they don't have a urinary tract and like they piss out through their pores and shit like that, I guess. Something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I've heard that. Really? Although I think I might have heard that from you, so I'm not sure whether it sounds.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating, really.
I've heard that somewhere.
Well, no,
I forget where I heard that.
Well, the thing is, skate and shark are both very like gnarly prehistoric creatures,
But think about Iceland. I mean, like they like their food sources were pretty scarce. You know, I mean, like
right. No, it's if it's like the year 1100 AD, and you've got a pile of shark and nothing else. You best find a way to keep that edible throughout the winter, or else you're going to
die. Are you sure that ammonia smell wasn't from his suitcase? Sorry, Nate. I love you.
Maybe it's amazing. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe like I need to go to Iceland and try it there.
maybe eat it a little closer to the source.
a little closer to the source.
I've heard people that live in the north, like people from the Norse countries, talking about that like it's a punchline. Like, it's just like a local thing that you got to try.
Oh, dude. I honestly, that's hilarious. I don't think it was a suitcase. I've seen videos of people trying to eat that stuff and just like, you know, like dry heaving is so bad. Mm-hmm. But like, it made me think about something else like Nate and I were talking about, because we were talking about the something else, natto or something. Like durian, you guys ever had fresh durian fruit or any version of durian?
I've only ever had frozen durian. It was terrible. It was nice. The frozen durian was.
Okay,
but it's a love.
I'm kidding.
I've never had it frozen. But like there, so I just found out recently, because our au pair is from Thailand, but there's these Thai food festivals they have every now and then. And it was me and my daughter and Sheree and our au pair. We went. I can't tell you how I wish you guys were around here. You would lose your mind. It's like being in Thailand.
No,
I mean,
you sent us pictures. It looked like a lot of fun.
I did. Good. Yeah. Like nothing's awesome, in dude. English. Everyone's Thai. But the last time, the one of them that we went to, it was in the summertime. They had fresh durian and they had it like, you know, very ripe, medium ripe, and like just ripe. And you could like pick which kind you wanted. And like Shri was eating that thing. Like it, like she loved it. Like Jesse, like you might actually love it. But like for me, it smelled like somebody ripped ass.
Yeah.
Like after a hard night at Taco Bell for like a 40 foot radius around us, man, it was so bad. And I'm like, I tried to take a bite, and like it was just like the shark. Like as you bite down, that funk just like fills your sinuses in your mouth. I just couldn't do it, man. It's so bad.
That reminds me of a funny story.
Okay, good.
Tarver used to have on the tasting menu this absolutely delicious dish. We'd make a pomme d'arfan, like a, or a rosti, like a, you know, julienne potatoes on a mandolin. I'm making hand gestures as if anyone at home can see me. And then you rinse them in water, and then sort of pack them into a hot pan with clarified butter and salt and make this potato, like round potato cake. It's like delicious caramelized potatoes all around the outside and just cooked potatoes on the inside. And then you turn that out and you press all the grease out and it would absorb like a substantial amount of grease. Like if you don't press it, you'll know, because when you bite it, you'd be like, that's delicious, but I don't lie. And you cut it into a little pie shape, like basically you'd make one the size of an egg pan and then cut it into like six wedges. And then over each wedge, he would broil a piece of taleggio and then put that into a plate and serve it with this banging truffle vinaigrette. That was like, we didn't use fresh truffles.
That was the
like,
cheese course.
Yeah, it was the cheese course on the tasting menu. So
that
like,
was that. That was that way. Because that dish was so goddamn
was
good.
Yeah, it was delicious. You're the one who you showed me that pomme d'arfan. Good.
I think that was a Peninsula Girl thing from way back in the day.
Yeah.
And then it was like canned truffle pieces with the juice from the truffle pieces, a little truffle oil. I think it was Banyuls vinegar, minced shells. What else was in there? It was
soft boiled egg, honey,
softy.
It was a really nice truffle vinaigrette, but. Tarver's gonna go mad. When you popped it in the broiler to melt the cheese, the thing about taleggio is it tastes delicious. It's amazing. Washed rind cheese is one of my favorite things, and I fear no washed rind cheese. I don't care how funky it is. I'll take a piece of Epwash to smear it all over my face. I don't care.
I feel like you're distracting from what you're about to say.
When you popped it in the broiler, this waft of like dying things just came out of the broiler. So what we used to like to do to piss off Tarver was, you guys remember the Sex Panther scene from The Ballad of Ron Burgundy? Where it was just like, what smells like a turd covered in burning hair? What smells like a dirty diaper full of Indian food? What smells like Bigfoot's dick? We just keep that running. And anytime you popped it into the broiler, you had to say what it smelled like. And all right, guys, this is we're gonna get to the mature audiences portion, because this is how cooks talk, and this brings us back to Nate's Bob Saget comment. I remember like one time it was just like, oh, what smells like an all homeless lesbian orgy? And
it smells worse than grandma's pussy.
But then there was one time, the time where Cherie got really 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 mad at me. I was like, oh, what smells like someone finger blasted a dead mermaid? And Cherie was furious. I didn't have to run like I did after the y'all got red velvet cake incident. Like I didn't have to actually flee, but man, I got an earful. She didn't think that was funny at all. Tarver was just like, shut up, guys. It smells fun.
It did. That was a good course.
It was a great dish.
Definitely smells strong out of the broiler, though.
If I opened a restaurant tomorrow, I would steal that dish and put it on. But it was like a game. It was like you'd spend like, okay, that course is going to be picked up in two more courses. The fish is going to go, and then I got to take care of the meat course. or no, I was, it was on the saute station. So I've got to get this fish out. And then I have until the meat course is done for this to figure out the next thing that I'm going to say this smells like.
And that's when Jesse would get quiet. It was rare.
That's when he was trying to think of it. Rare moment, but he was conjuring.
You all right, Jesse? Yeah, I'm good. No, the, go in the broiler. And this smells like blank. 60% of the time, it works every time.
So what you're saying is I only ever get quiet when I'm planning something awful?
No, when you're trying to think of something awful to say is when you get quiet.
Or when I'm really, really...
Or sometimes you just blurt it out. You never know.
some morning at Tristan, I was going off on some completely unacceptable story. I don't even remember what. It was just one of my lurid adventures. And Nate goes, looks at the staff who is surrounding me, who are all like 12 years younger than me, and goes, "Hey, boys and girls, welcome back to story time with Dirty Uncle Jesse." It's like little Sarah and little Jess and Chachi and Spider are all surrounding us, and they're all like 22, and I'm like 33, and I'm like, "Then another time, we went down to the gay bar. We were only trying to buy drugs, but they thought we were the..." Like, it was a...
they got themselves an edumacation that morning.
Okay, does anybody else have any other weird foods they want to go into?
No, but maybe let's kick it over to the listeners and see if they got any weird food or stories they can send us. And
yeah, listeners, if you guys exist, let us know. Like, tell us.
Converse.
Or if you have any questions about weird, or if you have a question about some food that you might think is weird, but that we all think is normal, like, I don't know.
You always say, like, if there are any.
If you send us weird food, we will eat it.
45, 50 people listen to this.
It's weird, but like, I run into people all the time. They're like, "I listen to your podcast all the time."
Yeah, me too. It's weird. It's like we have like 11 listeners that we know of, but people say, "Oh, I love your show, man." I'm like, "What?
Who are you?" All right, well, round the horn real quick, just as a little Langnet bonus. One more time, one weird food that you had and where you had it. Go.
I had a dehydrated scorpion, and it was on New Year's Eve in my kitchen that some, I think, a stage gave me.
Was it good?
Dude, really? Eat it. And I freaking did it, and it tasted awful. It was like the worst, stalest, greasiest, most flavorless, chewy piece of shit I ever put in my mouth.
Disappointed.
It sucked. It was so dried out. It was like the worst
flavorless
snack food ever.
Fair enough.
We touched on insects. I'd have to say the first time I ever had insects, we got a bunch of different one of our guests
ever eat a winky.
What's a winky?
It's a donger.
The way it works is little ones are called winkies, medium-sized ones are called schmeckles, big ones are called nozzles.
We've all done the testicle thing. I think testicles are fucking super tasty. Like,
I've still never eaten the testicle. What the hell is that about?
Of all
what do you mean
people,
you never had balls in your mouth?
I didn't say that. I've just never.
Bull testicle is and I've had bull and lamb. Like, they're extremely good.
I would love to try it.
Didn't you did lamb with us, right? Didn't we have them when you were the chef?
Yeah, we had. Yeah,
we cooked them.
I know, Nate, you and I did, Jesse.
We only had a couple.
I've never had them. And the thing is, I would have jumped at the show. Like, I'm not afraid of, I like organ meats. So I would have, and also I like weird stuff, and I'm a gross, dirty
If you
scumbag.
Like brain and sweetbreads, you'll like testicle.
Love it's, sweetbreads. Nate, remember Casey Stieferman?
Yeah.
This line cook, he was like, mental. He's like certifiable. He had like 28 jobs in 25
maybe not
years.
Say his full name.
Okay,
well, he would kill us all.
Hey, he was an interesting guy, and I'm gonna say something nice about him. We were talking about favorite foods, and he just goes, "Oh, favorite food, hands down absolute favorite food, hog balls with wild morels and scrambled eggs." And I never had
that
more.
Sounds good.
I had so much respect for him in that moment.
That's
I was
right.
Just like,
he did.
That was, he was like, hog balls, morels, scrambled eggs. And like,
put some asparagus in there. That, man, that sounds
fucking awesome. That sounds pretty good.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. And in my brain, I just swapped hog balls out with sweetbreads because that's like, that's another gland. So I figured it'd be kind of similar. But like, yeah, I had a lot of respect for that man that day. I mean,
it's like the analogy is awful, but like, it's like sweetbreads, but creamier. Like they're softer. They're super good.
I'm so into
it. Probably really easy to ruin though.
Well, yeah. You know, so is everything.
So is everything.
Well, yeah. For my weird food, I will say horse tartare, because the thing is, for me, it's not weird at all. It was actually quite delicious, and I don't have any like feelings about eating weird animals. If you handed me like, hey, this is a piece of a dog, eat it, and then like, well, was it my dog? And if the answer is no, then I'm like, okay, this dog's probably a dick, and I'll eat it, no problem. But so I assume that this horse wasn't some majestic beauty horse, but some, you know, shithead horse that all the other horses didn't like.
Some nag that old Gil lost his mortgage money on.
Yeah, exactly. No, the thing is, I was in Montreal, and in Montreal, there's a bunch of restaurants that just have horse, and you never see it in the States. So I thought I'd try it, and it was a delicious dish. It was a big pile of tartare that was like. Darby, are you okay?
I'm fucking dying laughing when Nate just said, man, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Lost his mortgage on.
Come on. All right. But no, it was a big pile of raw diced horse with like Parmesan shavings and very, very thin slices of baby artichokes and an egg yolk and a big fat pinch of sea salt and like some crusty bread. And the thing is, if you would have said, this is steak tartare, I would have had no idea. I would have been like,
Carver, hey, remember the beef heart tartare you did with us? That dinner we did?
Yeah.
That was fucking fire, dude.
That's way weirder. What's the texture of beef heart raw?
Like a firmer cut, like top round, but not, no. Like,
it's almost like collagen-y almost, too. It's like a little elastic.
You got some
a livery. It's almost livery.
Mm-hmm.
Like a livery
it's
top.
It's so round. Good though, man.
No, I want to try it. I think
didn't,
I'm just
didn't you have to purge it for like 5 days and like change it every day?
Like salt water, change the water, mm-hmm. change the salt water like every day.
It's it sounds weird, but it is freaking
good. It doesn't sound weird. It sounds delicious. Then again,
I've had horse before, man. Horse is good, Jesse. I haven't had it raw. I had it cooked. Like it was. You can't say this kind of stuff up where I'm at because this is like horse country and people love their horses up here. But like, it was good.
I mean,
it was good.
I'm not the type to impugn the culture of a place where I go. If they have something to eat, I'll eat it, and I'm not going to talk shit about it.
I've heard of like French fries fried in horse fat in France. I heard that was really good.
How much fat is on a horse?
That was my question. But like, I've seen it.
I think of horses like very lean animals compared to like
very
like
lean
pigs.
But I imagine like the leaf fat, like the same as like lamb has. You know,
I'm sure there's got to be some leaf fat around the kidneys and stuff.
Yeah,
but you need a lot.
A lot, and it, but like and the again, pictures horses, that I've seen, it's like kind of yellow.
Damn big.
Yeah.
Like it's.
But they're beefy, man. That's some beefy meat. Horse is good, dude.
Oh, horse is good. Really good. Horse is good. It's I wouldn't want it more than rare or medium rare. Like just because I think it'd be pretty ropey just because they're so lean. But horse is good.
Like cooking like elk or something. Like you want it like
Right.
I would treat a horse. I would treat a horse like I would treat venison. Just, you know, gentle. Right. If it's high heat, start with the meat cold. You know what I mean? Like they always say, let the meat temper. I say not with venison.
Sear cold
venison because you can slow cook it later, but if you overcook it, that's the ball game with venison.
It's dry as hell.
So,
you guys ever had red stag venison?
I don't know. I've had, I couldn't tell you.
So red stag deer, I'll send you a link. Like you can, like we used to use it at the restaurant, but you can get it sent to your house.
Is red stag a brand or a breed?
It's a breed of deer. They're massive. They're indigenous to Patagonia, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But like your everyday American deer is like if you were standing up, their head would be like what, chest high, you know, like for a full grown buck or doe. red stag are like head high or taller, and they have massive horns. They're massive animals. And there's a farm. I mean, it's almost like Sika venison, but like, it's like this huge, huge farm where it's like acres and acres and acres and acres, and they've like fenced it off. So it's almost like they have massive amounts of land to run around in. And when they harvest them, they do it all humane and stuff. And it's not cheap. It's not cheap at all. But
even regular venison is not cheap.
Yeah, but this stuff, I'm not even kidding, man. Like, it is phenomenal. I have it's not cheap. So like, we would get like leg and, you know, shoulder, neck, that kind of thing. I don't think I ever messed around with the back straps or loins or anything like that, just because it was so expensive.
It would have been like $40 a pound or something. Absolutely. COVID Wagyu beef prices.
But like, the leg was like $15 to $20 a pound for like, you know, like whole legs and stuff. But like, God damn. I mean, like,
I need to try that.
Please do. Like, if you have a special occasion coming up, Nate, you got a birthday coming up in June. Like, do like something to make an excuse for it, because it's like, it's extremely good.
Awesome. Where does one get
it? I will look into that.
Millbrook Farm, or so, it's out of New York.
Do they do mail order? I could put something on the blog. Hot dogs and caviar dot blogspot. Hot dogs and caviar dot blogspot.com. Never stop shilling. Never stop shilling.
Never stop shilling. Red stag beer. And look up the animal, man. If I'm not mistaken, they've been around for like almost close to prehistoric times. They're a hardy animal.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that's badass. I want to try that. I might just my wife's in earshot, so I am not going to go online and order some of that impulsively. I am not going to go online and order some of that impulsively. So yeah, we'll see if I don't do that. You know, but things happen, and every once in a while,
venison makes your shit sticky.
So, but I mean, like, look at it. They're almost bigger than elk. Can you see
that?
Oh my God. It's a good
Look at that rack on that thing.
Yeah, they're fucking huge.
Nate, put that copy of Jugs down. We're talking about elk here. Zip up.
Oh, so they're in New Zealand too.
That is incredible.
That thing is huge.
Millbrookvenison.com is where you can get some. They're indigenous to Patagonia and New Zealand. But man, get some. I'm telling you, dude, like, you don't have to do much to it. Salt.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to. Like, you've got something, such a pristine natural product.
Yeah. Why fuck they're just good.
Get out of its way.
Yeah.
But I do love, one of my favorite classic sauces is sauce grand vinaigre, which is like the traditional, like, Escoffier sauce for venison. It's like sauce poivrade, so like game stock and peppercorns reduced down until it's glazy, but then you fold in currant jelly and fresh horseradish. Like, that's awesome. If you don't like that, you can go fuck yourself. Dude,
yeah.
Currant and horseradish?
Yeah, red currant jelly and horseradish into demi-glace with juniper and pepper.
Dude, that sounds fucking awesome.
I invented that. Not Auguste Escoffier, father of haute cuisine.
You made that up?
He wrote something about it, but he heard about it from me.
Sounds good, man.
I did come up with one new culinary idea today. And I don't even remember the context. I was just spitballing about bad food ideas. And you know how sometimes you try to like do a parody and make a jokey suggestion, and you say something bad, and then it sounds like it's might be kind of awesome?
All the time.
I want to make, this is my closing statement for this episode, because we've been talking about weird food. How would you guys feel about a grilled cheese sandwich, like a toasted cheese sandwich, that used unfrosted cherry Pop-Tarts for bread, and then like a really nice triple cream cheese, like a Brie Savarin for cheese?
I would feel weird, but I would try it.
Salty, sweet, creamy, yeah, that could work. I
would see how that'd be really good, actually, yeah.
I'm unfortunately relatively certain that I'm going to make this happen in the next week.
I feel like you should be doing it right now.
I think you should use toaster strudels. The trouble instead.
Fuck, that actually sounds good. You false prophet, man. Pop-Tarts are where it's at. they're not technically speaking like food, but as far as horrible junk food go, they're par X.
Yeah, Pop Tarts are awesome.
Maybe I'll do a side by side. Maybe I'll make a Briette Savarin Toast G sandwich with Pop Tarts and another one with Toaster Strudels, and we could just get it.
I might swing on Nate's side on that. I think the Toaster Strudel with Briette Savarin might be a little better, man. Don't get mad.
No,
I
feel like you guys are about flaky and golden brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet little jam. Then you get all the little jizz that comes with it.
The big question here. No, leave the jizz off. But the big question. The big question
here. Yeah, leave
here
it
is,
off.
Can you? Do they still make?
Got to drive home.
what day? Dee says yes, they do still make toaster strudel. All right, it's
yeah,
on.
They do.
We're gonna have a side by side grilled cheese sandwich made with frozen
toaster strudel,
made with shitty strudel.
All right,
so guys, keep
me and my brother used to beat the shit out of each other over those things.
Right,
same.
Everyone following at home, be advised.
Son of a bitch!
One of our next blog posts is going to be a side by side.
That better not have been apple. The apple's my favorite.
You use three packs of icing on one strudel.
That's totally something Adam would do. All right, guys, I think the wheels are falling off this one. I think we should call it. Listeners at home, thank you for listening to our hour on weird food and other topics. For Nate Spin Kick Whiting and Tarver Super King King, I am the mouth of the South, Jesse Sutton, also known as the Waitress Cobra. We've so glad that you decided to follow us all the way to the end. Keep an eye on the blog for our side-by-side taste contest, where I promise not to be biased, although Pop-Tarts are objectively better. And we'll see whether the toaster strudel or the Pop-Tart makes a better bread for a toasted Briette Savarin sandwich. A collection of words I've used before, but never thought I would use in that exact order.
Toaster strudel.
Pop-Tart, the better bread? Are you nuts? We'll see. We shall see.
We shall see. Okay, no, are you guys going to do this too?
I'm down. I have toaster strudel.
I got Pop-Tarts.
Henley loves toaster strudels, man. Like, I've got some in the fridge right now. I don't have Briette Savarin.
Okay, let's have a full-on Pop-Tarts and Kevin.
I gotta get some.
Get some Briette Savarin. Can you get some locally, Carver? Right. Do you have a place where you can get it?
Oh yeah.
They
okay,
it. Yeah, yeah.
Guys, can you commit to within 1 week having done this challenge?
Yeah. Speaking of weird cheese things, you guys are in South Carolina. I made pimento cheese with mimolette.
Nice.
It was pretty good, dude.
I bet it was. Like,
I can see Jesse's nice face. Choice. I know. It's like such a fancy cheese.
Why would you do that to mimolette?
I know.
If I was in a challenge, like gun to my head, and someone said, "Make the best pimento cheese ever." I guess I'd be like mimolette if I couldn't get Red Leicester, but one of those two.
It's not that expensive, is it?
It's 4,000 times. It's, dude, we're talking pimento
cheese. More than, hell of a good cheddar Tillamook cheese.
Pimento yeah, it's cheese. More than Tillamook cheddar, but it's not as bad as it used to be.
Weird but it's food. Not.
Pimento
crazy,
cheese is the
is
ultimate
it?
Weird food. Somebody was like, I know what I'll do. I'll make a tuna salad, but instead of tuna, I'll put shredded cheddar cheese in there.
Do you know where pimento cheese comes from?
New York City. I did an article on this at one point.
Really?
People think it came from South Carolina, but it was from New York. Yeah,
but New York discarded it and South Carolina adopted it. That's New York was like, no, wait, no, we're better than this. And then South Carolina was like, we're not, Bo.
it came from French immigrant farmers in New York State who were trying to replicate a cheese in France. It was like a super cheap gas station cheese, and I can't remember the name of it.
Well, they nailed the gas station cheese thing.
Damn it. Now I got to Google it. Please. I won't be able to sleep. Neufchâtel?
Neufchâtel? I mean, Neufchâtel is spreadable gas.
It's kind of like cream cheese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was invented in the 1870s in New York, where French immigrant farmers started making soft, unripened cheese modeled after the French Neufchâtel.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So it's mimolette. It's French. So
no, I'm not knocking the mimolette. That sounds like the world's best pimento cheese. I just, when I moved to South Carolina, there were like the four horsemen of cuisine that baffled me here. I didn't understand boiled peanuts. I didn't understand pimento cheese. I didn't understand sweet tea. and I didn't understand.
Fucking grandma.
I was gonna say mustard barbecue. I understand.
Grandma. Grandma. Oh boy.
Taking shots
put
of grandma.
Put a splash
I
of that
never
in your juniper
out.
Beurre blanc. That'd be
good. No, it would. It'd be a better use for it than drinking a half a bottle of it to the dome every time you do a...
Burn your arm hairs off. But
the grandma thing is ridiculous. For those following along at home, for some reason, restaurant employees in Charleston like to do shots of Grand Marnier.
It's awful.
It's like liquid candy that rots your liver.
Yeah, it's terrible. Don't do it.
And it makes you mean.
It makes you mean. It gives you the worst the next day, dude. Oh.
All right, dude, you ready to call this one?
All right, yeah.
Love you.
Well, once again, I'm going to try again
guys.
For a Nate Spinkick Whiting. Love you guys, too. And Tarver Super King King, this is still about the South Jesse Sutton. Thanking you all for listening to another lovely episode of Hot Dogs Caviar. Speakeasy is going to play us out of here, and we'll see you all... I'd say next week, but we've been pretty crappy about timing this summer and spring and previous winter. But we'll see you when we see you. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Come on, my little baby, my little darling, my little sister. Come on, baby, just